Well, good evening to you, and what a wonderful, wonderful occasion it is hearing about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming to the world. I'd like to share very briefly a little bit about why the birth of Jesus Christ is good news for you. And we're going to be just considering, just briefly, those words of the angels who said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, I was reading recently that in Psychology Today that apparently there are five basic types of fear which beset us all to one extent or another. We're just going to have a little consideration of those, and apparently this is common to all of us, and why Jesus coming has something to do with those fears. And the first one is this. Apparently we are all susceptible to the fear of humiliation. They call it ego death. Ego death. And it's like the fear of losing your sense of lovability or your capability. The fear of humiliation. So if you're someone who is terrified of failing, then that's part of this fear of humiliation. Now, my mother was, who's here this evening, actually, hello, Mum. My mother was so keen to protect me from this fear growing up that in fact, I think she possibly overcompensated. And I ended up actually thinking that I was invincible. I was praised to the nth degree. So that was good. It felt good to be like that. But occasionally, it was a bit bewildering. So on sports day, for example, as my little dumpy frame was running along in last place and I'm seeing all my friends disappearing off into the distance, I was thinking, what is happening here? You know, I cannot fail. I'm invincible. But on a more serious note, you know, it's true that having worked with children for over 20 years, you do have children coming through schools who have this sense of not being lovable because they have been brought up to feel undervalued, to be ignored, to be mistreated. And so you have this fear of humiliation, fear of failure, a sense of being unlovable. Jesus coming into the world says this to you, that his love will never, ever fail you. Jesus' love, that little baby who was laid in a manger, his love never fails. You know, even though in many ways we are unlovely, nonetheless, he loved you so much as to lay down his life for you. We read elsewhere in the Bible, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you're someone who feels little and insignificant in this world of billions of people, if where all the news is of big political and social movements across the globe, if you feel like you're not one of those people who are filled with talent and prestige and power, well, if you feel small and unnoticed and insignificant, well, then you needn't be, because Jesus gave his life for people just like you. People who are in many ways unlovely, but who are valued and loved beyond their wildest dreams by the God who made this universe, who sent his son to die for you. You know, God loves little people. He loved little Mary and little Joseph, who had to be got from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that the Savior of the world might be born in Bethlehem, just as it had been foretold, just as we heard earlier on. So God organizes this census so that Joseph would be brought back to his hometown so that the prophecy might be fulfilled. You know, God moves empires for little people like you and like me in order that we might come to know his son But also there's another fear. There's apparently a fear of separation, the fear of abandonment or rejection, of not being wanted or respected or valued by someone else. You know, I remember going to university, going to Oxford University on my first term. I remember turning up dressed like I don't know what. I'd never dressed like this before, dressed in a black polo neck, right, with a tweed jacket. Now, I'd never worn a black polo neck and a tweed jacket. I looked like a real turnip, but I thought that this was what it would take for me to be respected as a real intellectual by these people around me, and welcomed into their, like, fraternity. And I've never dressed like that again. I soon found out that wasn't the way to win friends. But that was really a kind of fear of rejection and not being respected. But you see, Jesus coming into the world, you know, he will never reject or condemn those who come to him. The gift of myrrh from the wise men that you've all heard about, you know, that was used in embalming dead bodies. You know, why give myrrh? Well, it was a picture of what was to come, surely, that one day this tiny baby would willingly, gladly lay down his life on a cruel cross at Calvary. And he would do that to bear the punishment for your sins, for the sins of all who would come to him throughout all ages and ask for the forgiveness that they need. So you see, once you come to Jesus, you will never be rejected. You will never be condemned. You will never be sent for punishment, because Jesus' blood shed on the cross will cover all of your sins. The Bible says, I am sure that neither death nor life, this is the Apostle Paul writing, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to come to know this wonderful Saviour King, whose coming was foretold. Do you know, a third type of fear? Fear of a loss of autonomy, apparently, is a real thing. Fear of being restricted or enveloped or overwhelmed or entrapped or imprisoned, smothered or just controlled by other things that are beyond your control. Now, I'm sure that you have all had some measure of that fear at some point in your lives. It's called the fear of the loss of autonomy, according to the psychologists. Well, by the time I'd arrived at university, I think I'd seen so many marriages fail. I'd seen so many people disappointed by that I became convinced that, you know, marriage, I would never be bound by marriage. You know, this was that would be signing away my autonomy. You know, I'm not going to swallow that. That's what I was thinking. And thankfully, the Lord had other plans for my life. And thank you, Mum, over in the corner. Yes, that's my mother-in-law. Yes. Okay. She was sweating for a moment there. But, you know, marriage, you discover is this, you know, lifelong exclusive commitment to one spouse. It unlocks a joy that you couldn't comprehend, this trusting companionship for one's life, which is the source of so much joy in one's life. You know, the thing that you would regard as trapping you actually is the most liberating thing. It's a wonderful gift from God. You know, it's not a loss of freedom. It brings freedom to many people. People who come to Jesus from all over the world, they find this wonderful truth, that Jesus' love sets you free. Have a listen to this. This is what he said. He said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know, I don't know where you've come from, or whether you've got faith, or whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, but whatever you might regard as being freedom, you know, if it is just doing whatever you feel like whenever you want to do something, well, that's actually slavery, according to the Bible. You know, when you come to Jesus for forgiveness, he turns you around 180 degrees and he allows you to do the one thing you are completely powerless to do, and that is to delight in God, to love God. You're powerless to do that without having your sin washed away by this Savior King. And Jesus can give you that freedom. See, freedom, I found this quote, freedom, true freedom, is not the right to do as you please, but being pleased to do what is right in the sight of God. Jesus sets you free. And the last two fears I'm going to lump together, because my experience says that they are fairly closely connected. Apparently there's a fear of mutilation and a fear of extinction. I remember going on holiday to Malta, and anybody who knows me knows I have a fear of sharks, right? And I remember in Malta, I thought this was a safe bet because, you know, Malta, it's like a big fishing pond, isn't it? Or a big swimming pool or something. No danger there. But just as soon as my feet couldn't touch the ground anymore, and I was swimming along, all of these flashbacks to the film Jaws came across my mind. I started flailing around like nobody's business and in a sheer panic. And this terror of extinction kind of overwhelmed me. And I'm sure the local Maltese must have thought, who is this crazy Westerner, you know, in the bay, panicking. But it's true that, you know, if you've ever leant over a cliff or leant over a tall building, that fear that comes over us. And yet, the Bible makes clear that Jesus brings everlasting life to those who come to him. Try and get your head around that. You know, you just can't. Listen to these words of the angel again. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." You know, when God draws near to you, you begin to see the grime in your own life. And you begin to fear God, which is actually the only well-founded, really well-founded source of fear. And Jesus is not only the Saviour of the world, he's also the judge before whom we will all one day come. And that is a truth. You will all be before Jesus one day. That will happen. But what a relief it must have been to these shepherds, just to finish, as they hear those words, "Do not be afraid, fear not." Why not? Because the message that they were hearing was one of absolute joy. In sending the long-awaited Savior, Jesus Christ, God was keeping his promise from hundreds of years before, to the letter, born in Bethlehem to a virgin who would grow up as prophesied to give sight to the blind and cause the mute to speak and the deaf to hear and the lame to leap. You know, all of this would come, and here is this everlasting King wrapped up in flesh in a manger. God made man. And here he is, and he comes for you, and he comes for me, so that we might never fear again, so that he might overcome all of those fears that we have. The rejection, he brings love and acceptance. Fear of judgment, and he brings forgiveness and mercy. Your fear of extinction and annihilation before this, before the end of this life, he brings everlasting life to you, that you might know God who made you. And so, just to conclude, people all over the world, even today, have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you join them? Will you come to Jesus, this wonderful King? Will you leave all your doubts behind? Will you draw back from all of those things which are holding you back and come to Christ and be saved? Just believe in him and you will be saved. What a wonderful King we have.